You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
Welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. We're just beginning our trip through the Old Testament book of Judges today, so turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 3, and we're going to hear about three ordinary men and one outstanding woman who God appointed judges over the land of Israel. We'll begin our study with a short intro from Dr. McGee as he tells us about this woman that God used in an amazing way to lead Israel. Here's Dr. McGee.
We are in new territory now. We've left the days of Joshua and we're in the times of the judges. Unusual man, none of them big men, but we come to a woman who's outstanding. There are those that say the Bible doesn't have very much about women. May I say to you that it was quite a few years ago now, over 1,000 years before Christ, that God raised up a woman in Israel by the name of Deborah to be a judge, ruler of the people. She was outstanding, by the way. Very remarkable. And she actually took a man's place, and she did it well. Maybe these women's rights groups could be wrong about the Bible, and maybe they could learn something from the Bible of what makes a woman that God can use, and use in politics, by the way. Well, we're going to talk about her a little today and tomorrow, because she was not only that, she was a songwriter, too, of that day.
Before we come to the study, I'd like to share with you three letters from listeners of our Ubuntu broadcast. That's broadcast in Angola, Africa. Now, Angola is a Southern Africa country, obviously, and it's trying to get back on its feet after generations of civil war, and many Angolans have turned to God. But churches and good Bible teaching are scarce, and that's why we can celebrate letters like these. The first one says, "My joy is completed since the day I began to listen to Through the Bible. My spiritual eyes were opened, and today I am a child of God and have the hope to inherit heaven. Before I learned about Jesus Christ, my life was just a mess. I was involved in all kinds of sin, but God delivered me, and now my life has another direction." And then another Ubuntu friend shares this. "Through the Bible is my pastor. Every day when I listen to this program, my spiritual life grows a little bit more. I had some difficulties understanding the Bible, but you are teaching me how to interpret what I read." And then here's the last one. This is another friend in Angola. "I was like the prophet Jonah. Every time I heard the word of God, I ran. One day, I couldn't help but hear Through the Bible at my friend's place. After that, I bought a small radio and took it home to listen in my bedroom. After a while, my heart was touched and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Today, I worship the only living God and tell others the good news, and also to listen to Through the Bible for good explanation. Thank you." Well, isn't that an encouragement? Well, let's pray for one another, and then let's get right to today's study. Heavenly Father, your word brings light and life to a lost and dying world. Let it shine brightly during this time of teaching, blessing all who listen in every corner of the earth, including Angola. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, today we come back to the third chapter of the book of Judges. And we made a statement concerning these judges that I'm sure as we proceed from here that it will be confirmed to your heart. And that is that all of these judges are little men. There's not a big one actually in the lot. And these men were used of God because actually they were, well, I have to say it, they were characters, odd characters, by the way. And the very oddness caused God to use them, and he was enabled to use them because of that. Now, we mentioned last time Othniel, and we saw in verse 9 of this third chapter that he was the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, and he, by the way, was married to Caleb's daughter that was given to him. Now, he belonged to a good family. In fact, the best of the lot, by the way. Actually, Caleb, I feel, was one of the great men that you could put along with Moses and with Joshua. I'm sure of that. And we have already, of course, seen his story. But now he had good antecedents. He came from a very fine family. Here he occupied this position. And then we find that the Lord actually called him, as we saw. And not only that, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, we're told here in verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. This man had a lot going for him. There was no glamour connected, though, with him. Nothing spectacular. It just says here, and the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. That's all it said about him, by the way. Most biographies are very much like that. They have a difficulty. I met a man on the streets of Los Angeles many years ago who wrote, by the way, several fine biographies of Christian leaders of the past. And he was writing on a present-day Christian leader. And I was asking him how he was getting along. He said, I'm having difficulty. I said, what is it? Well, he says to keep the front page from rubbing against the back page. He says there's nothing to say about him. And it's very difficult to keep the birth and death apart. I think most tombstones have it accurately. Here lies Joe Doakes, born, died. That's his story. I heard of this being on the tombstone of a dentist. It said, given his name, a dentist, filling his last cavity. Well, that's about all you can say about not only dentists, but the rest of us. But you notice God came upon the simple life of this man, and that is something that is very much worthwhile. And we find that here you have an ordinary man. His only claim to greatness is his relative of Caleb. Now we come to another man here at verse 12, and let me begin reading. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And here goes our hook rolling down through history again. They were serving God, then they did evil and forsook God. God delivered them into servitude. And what happened? Verse 14, the children of Israel serve Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. Now notice, but when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, here we go again, we're starting up now on the hoop. They cried unto the Lord. What happened? The Lord raised up a deliverer. Who is he? Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. Now, this is a good one for you, friends. The only thing this man had that was going for him, he was a southpaw. He was left-handed. He might have been a good pitcher today on one of the major league teams. But in that day, they didn't have major league teams. And he was a man left-handed. And by him, the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Now, I want you to see this here. It's a brutal thing that took place. And I offer no explanation for it. This man here, his actual name means red hair. He's a red-headed, left-handed fella. And the act that he performed, it lacks the heroic or the romantic. In fact, a hero doesn't become a hero like it did here. Well, here's the story. He was to go over and take a present to Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he did gird it upon his raiment, upon his right thigh. Now, don't miss that. You see, he's left-handed. He'd reach over on his right side to pull out that dagger, you see. Well, in that day, when they searched anybody, they just looked on the left side because everybody was right-handed. I mean, very few people left-handed. And so when they search him, and notice what happens here when he did, He brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. Here's a big fat king now. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, now he delivered the present, those with him, but when he started back, he left the delegation that came back with him, and he pretended he had a secret errand unto the king, and he did, by the way. It's quite a secret. I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, keep silence, and all that stood by him went out from him. He said, I have a very secret message for you. And the king thought he was going to hear something, you know, that really was secret. And he sent everybody out. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. Now, friends, here's just about as bloody a thing as you can look at, and it's not a very pretty thing. These are the days of the judges. And this man now, a left-handed man, went in with a secret. What do? Why, they search him. You know, the Secret Service of that day, they went down his left side, and there wasn't any dagger there, but he had it on the other side. And so he took it out at the convenient moment, and he plunged it into this big fat man. And what happened? Why, the dagger was just covered by the fat of the man, you see. And, well, he stuck him, friends, like you would a pig. It wasn't a cowardly act. It took courage to do what he did, and he did it almost by chance, because it would have been very difficult for a right-handed man to have got in there and have done this, you see. But you wouldn't quite call this the heroic way of doing it, would you? I'm sure that we'd think of another way. Well, notice what you have here. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, that is, the servants of the king here came, and they waited around. They didn't want to go in without the king calling them. And when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. In other words, he's taking a nap, doesn't want us to disturb him. And they tarried till they were ashamed. They just kept thinking he'd wake up, and he didn't. And they waited until it was really embarrassing. And what happened? Well, they finally took a key, they opened them, and behold, their Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried and passed beyond the quarries and escaped into Seirath. Now, while all this time was going on, it gave Ehud an opportunity to escape and get beyond the land of Moab where they could reach him. And in verse 27, it came to pass when he was come that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, fall after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, took the fords of Jordan toward Moab, and suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lust and all men of valor. There escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Now Ehud was the judge God raised up, and he had very little ability. In fact, I can't find anything he did other than this. He just happened to be left-handed and gave him a marvelous opportunity to get rid of the man that was bringing all of the tragedy into the lives of the Israelites. And he was the instrument God used. Now, I know that a great many people say, well, that was a bloody thing that he did. Sure wasn't romantic and wasn't heroic in any way whatsoever, but it accomplished the purpose. And God oftentimes uses this method to cut out a cancer of sin to save the body of the people. The thing is that it saved, probably because of this, thousands of lives. Now, a great many people are going to say, well, our civilization would not permit this. You couldn't say that because of the fact we dropped an atom bomb, you will recall, killed women and children. That is something that has apparently happened in South Vietnam. War is an awful, terrible thing. And the thing is, it delivered Israel, and it saved the lives of multitudes. But the supreme accomplishment was the fact that the only talent the man had, he's left-handed. He was a southpaw. Now, isn't that unusual? You remember William Carey was a cobbler. Dwight L. Moody had no formal education. Some folk down in Orange County let me have a cassette tape of the voice of Dwight L. Moody from a record that they had. He had a wonderful voice. I'd never realized that before, and I've seen pictures of him, and I never would associate the voice with the man. But he had no really formal education, yet he certainly sounded like he did. And you see all these J.C. Penney stores. Did you know he was the son of a preacher? And when his father died, the church in that day didn't provide a pension for the preacher's widow. And this boy, J.C. Penney, he went out and gathered up washing, and his mother took in washing. And he used to say when he did it, someday I'm going to grow up, and when I do, I'm going to make money, and I'll take care of my mother, and I'm going to take care of poor preachers and poor preachers' widows. Well, there's a place down in Florida named for Penney, and only retired preachers and widows of preachers can live there. He carried through what he said he was going to do. I may end up down a place like that, I don't know. And Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, when he preached his first sermon at a church, the committee met and turned him down. They told him they didn't think he could ever become a preacher. I'd sure hated to have been on that committee. And I used to hunt on the Brazos River with a rancher, a man who had made money in oil. And he told me how, as a young fella, he'd gone out and taken this claim way out in West Texas. He said nobody would have had that land. It was so bad and the weather so rough, he had to move his wife and daughter and son into town. And then he'd sleep at night on a saddle blanket and a slicker over him and just make a trench around him, let the water run off. My friend, may I say that, he told me this. He says, people think that I was lucky to hit oil on that land. But he said, I prayed that if God would only some way enable me to keep it and enable me to make money, I'd use it for him. That man, a great many people did think he was lucky and he had the oil money. But did you know he started a fund that has supported quite a few missionaries down in South America? You know, God can use you if you want to be used, friends. You can bake a cake. Or maybe you're just left-handed today. God can use you. And then we have another judge here that concludes this chapter, Shamgar. And you notice only one verse about him. It says, after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now, it's not the man here, but the method that he used. He used an ox goad, and that's a pretty crude instrument. And the reason he did, they just didn't have iron weapons among the Israelites. And he was short of any polished kind of an instrument or the latest thing for delivering his people. So he just used that which he had was an ox goad. He knew how to use it. That, you know, which goaded the oxen along. But he certainly knew how to use it. And I hear today people say, oh, you know, we must use the best methods. Well, I agree with that. That's fine to have good methods. But friends, what about the message? You know, it's wonderful to have airplanes today for missionaries. I've always thought that is fine. I've been for it. But when the missionary gets to the field or where the airplane takes him, is he giving out the word of God? That's what I want to know. You know, you can call today long distance between Maine and Texas, but what about the message that goes over the line? Television is a wonderful thing, but notice how it's prostituted today. And what about radio, by the way? I think it's a great thing. And jet planes are wonderful, but are they carrying messengers for God? And are they giving the message? You know, an ox goad can be dedicated to God if it's in the right hands. Remember that God used the jawbone of an ass. He used the rod of Moses. He used the slingshot of David. And all Dorcas had was a needle and thimble. And there was a little boy that only had 5 loaves and a few fishes. And James and John, they had some fishing nets. And Simon Peter had a boat. But there's all put in the hands of God. And friends, what you got, if you put it in his hands, he'll use it. I think of these three men that are mentioned in this chapter as three little men plus God. And this encourages me. If God used men like this, he may be able to use you and me. Now we have in chapter 4 one that's quite interesting indeed, by the way. We have here a mother in Israel. It's Deborah. Let me begin reading verse 1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now, notice what happened. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lappidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And I always think, instead of Deborah being the wife of Lappidoth, Lappidoth is the husband of Deborah. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon. Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Now notice Barak. And the thing, of course, that's more interesting than anything else, here's a woman that's going to become a judge. Now Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I'll go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I'll not go. And if there ever was a sissy, here's a general as a sissy. I can't think of anything that's more sissy than this. Here's a man that actually he should be out there in the battle. And yet he won't go to the battle without first having her go along with him. He said, I'll go out and fight provided you go with me. He wanted to hide back of a woman's skirts. No wonder that God had to use a woman in that day. And we can talk a great deal today about woman's rights, you know, and this women's movement to get equal rights. Well, what about their responsibility? I think a man's gift makes room for him, and so does a woman's gift. Now we have here that she said, I'll surely go with thee. My, I tell you, she's a forthright woman who, as we shall see, wanted deliverance for a people. And now we find that he calls together the hosts, and they get ready to go against the enemy. And they go against the enemy, and God gives them the victory. Verse 16, But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the hosts under Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in, fear not. And he turned in unto her into the tent. She covered him with a mantle. And then I tell you, she took a tent pin and let him have it, friends, and got rid of him. These two women, quite outstanding here. But next time we're going to see the song of Deborah and Barak. And here's another one of the great songs of the Bible, and it will explain all this incident to us. And so until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
The time of the judges was marked by people's outright rebellion. But there are some bright spots there as well, times when God delivered his people. We'll hear more about that next time. As always, if you're looking for a Bible study resource from Dr. McGee, look online at ttb.org. Or if we can help you find something maybe in particular, you can email us at biblebus@ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here in God's Word next time. Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from his word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible. Thank you.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
This is Reverend Gloria Ross again from New Life Assembly of God, and we are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard. And our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Now stay tuned to the broadcast. You will truly be blessed in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. We thank God once again for a glorious and wonderful opportunity just to come into your homes and nursing home, prison cells, and automobiles, wherever you are,
amen,
to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that he came for a divine purpose, and that is to save those that are lost. And we all were lost, as the Bible tells us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we thank the Lord today, and I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in radio land, and I pray that you will get your Bible and just tune in with us, because we want to just be a blessing unto each and every person there that tune in, praise God,
amen,
and follow what the Word of God says, because the Word is the final authority in everything that we're doing as children of God. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once again, thy servant approached thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
Amen.
Only you are able to do this, Lord, so we yield ourselves at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, so
yes,
that we could preach and teach this word this day, Lord God, and give you all of the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at a subject here in Galatians, the third chapter. We want to really begin at the 13th verse of Galatians 3 and verse 13. What a powerful epistle that Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Galatia.
Amen.
And many times there are things that were going on in there that were contrary, but they started out in the spirit and they wanted to become perfect in the flesh. And we know that as children of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he has baptized us in his Holy Spirit,
yes,
that he given it to us so that we can walk in his Spirit and not satisfy the desires of the flesh. So in the 13th verse, we want to look at it very closely with a clear eye and spiritual understanding and see that the Word of God is clear.
Yes.
And Apostle Paul, the apostle of grace, well, first of all, I want to say that you cannot mix law and grace together.
Yes, Pastor.
Either you're under the law or you're under grace. And Apostle Paul was writing, trying to overly emphasize to the church of Galatia that they are in grace. And we all, from that point on up until this period of time here, as you're hearing this broadcast, that we are living by grace.
Yes.
By the grace of God. We don't deserve what we have, but we thank God for it, because first of all, his grace is sufficient for us all.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. So in the 13th verse there, the Word of God tells us that Christ, and Apostle Paul was speaking to the church of Galatia, and he's explaining to them that Christ, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yes.
That's what Jesus has done. He has delivered us. Praise God. So Christ has redeemed us. He purchased us. Glory to God.
Yes, Pastor, he did.
From the law. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it is written, for it is written, cursed is anyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, let me tell you something here, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he became a curse for us.
Yes.
Glory to God, so that we can walk in peace and the blessings of God. So we want to look at this scripture very closely. Christ, not works or legalistic teaching or anything of that nature there, what the Judaizers and all them wanted to try and bring people back under the law and tell them that in order to be saved, you have to accept Moses' law and then you be saved. Let me tell you something. The grace of God.
Yes, Pastor.
And this is what Paul is telling the church of Galatia. Now, I mean, the first and second chapter is also important, but where the Holy Spirit led me to utilize today by the power of the Holy Spirit is the 13th verse of the third chapter, that Amen. Christ has, what Christ has done. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would just read that verse of Scripture in its entirety, and we'll go into the blessings, because God wants us blessed
yes.
and well
yes.
in everything that we are doing. We support the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done for us. We receive that. Praise God. Minister Gloria, you?
Yes, since Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Praise God. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, I want to tell you something out there in Radio Land is that the Lord Jesus Christ broke the penalty of sin
yes.
on Calvary's cross and redeemed us from the curse of the law. If we really look at what the curse of the law was in Deuteronomy 28, we see that the curse had all kinds of illnesses and sickness and disease and the various things there that was under the law, poverty and so forth. But
yes.
I just want you to understand that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Praise God. And he did it so that we could be blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can walk in the blessings. Praise God. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessings, and this is what I want everyone out there in Radio Land to understand, that the blessing, if you are a child of God, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of
Amen.
Your life, praise God, you can walk in the blessings. The blessings, praise God. So Christ redeemed us from the curse so that we could walk in the blessings of Abraham.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, Pastor.
By faith. My God, I tell you, it's a powerful thing here. We are blessed. We are blessed immensely, and we need to walk in that blessing, not hold our heads down and look disgruntled and poverty-stricken and all the things that the curse brings.
Yes.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. All this took place on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. The redemption took place at Calvary's cross.
Yes, Pastor.
So it says that the blessings, not the curse, but that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How?
Through Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. Through Jesus Christ. Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
That's why we are blessed. And you are blessed out there in Radio Land if you believe what the Word of God says. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. How?
That we might.
Go ahead, man.
That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Praise God.
Amen.
It's not by any works or anything. It's through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. That's why the Word of God tells us that no man is justified by the works of the law in the sight of God.
Amen.
I need to say that again. No man
yes,
is justified by the works of the law in the sight of God.
Yes.
But by faith through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Evangelist, you want to read that next verse there? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto.
Praise God. Praise God. You cannot disannul that.
No.
It's already been written and confirmed. Praise God.
Can't add to it either, Beth.
Praise the Lord. So the blessings has already been established, and it's irreversible.
Amen.
Irreversible.
Irreversible.
You're blessed. Praise God. Amen. We are blessed.
Through Christ. Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, Ms. Glory, you want to read that next verse there? We want to do line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, because Amen. This is epistle that was written. Praise God. I tell you, it's a powerful, mm-hmm. powerful
yes, it
epistle
is, Pastor. Yes, it
that
is.
Apostle Paul wrote to the church. And we want to get all the way down there in the 26th verse and thereafter there, letting you know, because if you're in Christ, that you're blessed.
Yes.
Praise God.
And I just wanted to add, because in Ephesians 1 and 3, it says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings
yes.
in heavenly places in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. So we are blessed. Amen. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promises were made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to the seed, which is Christ.
Glory to God. Continue.
Amen.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after,
mm-hmm.
cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect.
Praise God. 400 and what?
430 years.
My God.
My.
What can you do with that?
Can't do nothing, Pastor.
What do you think about that, Evangelist?
Pastor, this word God established was before Christ. 430 years, Pastor. But anything God speaks shall come to pass. And it came to pass.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Minister Glory, I would like you to read. Go to the 19th verse. We're going to jump over a few verses of scripture for the sake of time here.
It says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions.
Yes.
Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. You see, the whole thing is that we cannot walk in law and grace. And it's either grace or law.
Yes, Pastor.
And Apostle Paul here was explaining to us that since no man is justified by the works of the law in the sight of God, that he is bringing forth. And he had problems because there were people that were trying to get the Galatians to walk under this law, to go back in the flesh. And that's why in the beginning of the church, you say, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?
Mm.
You see, you start out in the spirit and now you're going to make yourself perfect in the flesh. That's not the way it's going to happen.
No.
God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
Praise the Lord. And everything that he's done it by faith in our eyesight. Praise God. And we got to take notice that this walk is a walk of faith.
Yes, it is.
It is that our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has done. And Apostle Paul was bringing that to us. Now, I want to go to, matter of fact, you want to read the 20th verse there?
It says, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one.
Amen.
Praise God. Go ahead, continue.
Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Praise God. So the whole thing is that Apostle Paul is laying this out.
Yes, he is.
He's laying it out to the Galatians there. Praise God. Let's look at the 23rd verse there. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah.
But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
Amen.
You see, the whole thing is that Paul is trying to tell them that through the tutorship and the governorship and all of this, he says that, wherefore, before faith came, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he came, they were kept under the law.
Yes.
And, the scriptures are clearly telling us here, praise God,
mm-hmm.
that but before faith came,
mm-hmm.
where were we?
We were kept under the law.
We were kept under the law.
Shut up.
You see, mm-hmm. shut up. Until what?
The faith.
Unto the which should
afterwards be revealed.
Praise God.
Amen.
Now, the law was, as Paul said, our schoolmaster.
Yes, amen. Master.
Mm-hmm.
To bring us to Christ.
Yes, to
you
bring
see,
us to Christ.
Amen. To bring us to Christ. He never have to walk in law or live under the law. Christ, when Christ came, we no longer need that schoolmaster.
Amen.
So wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But after faith came,
yes.
we no longer needed the schoolmaster.
No
Praise
longer.
God. This whole thing is by faith. Evangelist, what do you say about that? Praise God.
Pastor, God used the law to reveal himself through Christ, that we just need Christ. The just shall live by faith. Faith is in Jesus Christ, Pastor. We're not under the law no more. We're under grace. And we thank God for his grace and his mercy.
Praise the Lord. In the 25th verse, he had said, but after faith came, what happened?
We're no longer under the schoolmaster.
Amen.
We're no longer under the schoolmaster. So the schoolmaster was there to bring us to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You see, but after faith came, we no longer needed the schoolmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so important here, that if when we place our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he has blessed us with, and Apostle Paul is laying this out. I mean, there's so much in this third chapter.
Matter of fact, in the entire book
of Galatians, praise God, the letter that, or the epistle that Apostle Paul mm-hmm. wrote to the Galatians, is very powerful. But we, for the sake of time, we're, you know, jumping over a few verses of scriptures to get to a main point there, that in the 26th verse, praise God, hallelujah, I tell you, the 26th verse,
amen.
This thing has nothing to do with no law. You cannot keep the law anyway.
That's correct,
you see?
Pastor.
And no matter how hard you try, you cannot keep the law. The law was fulfilled in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the word of God tells us in Matthew 5 and verse 16 there. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with or destroy the laws of the prophet, but to fulfill it. So
amen.
Why Apostle Paul now speaking and writing this epistle to the church of Galatia, evidently that they were walking or trying to keep the law and grace.
Yes.
You cannot mix the two. It's
no.
just like trying to mix oil and water. You
yes.
cannot mix. They will not gel together. So what it is that if you're going to walk under the law or keep the law, then you're not justified in the sight of God.
Amen.
And if you're trying to keep that law, then it says that you're cursed.
Yes.
You're cursed. Christ has come to bring forth deliverance to us all. Praise God. And this is why it's so important that when we believe what Jesus has done, glory to God.
Amen.
And the finished work that he's done, glory to God, we can walk in the grace of God by faith.
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. The 26th verse there, praise God, is a powerful verse mm-hmm. of scripture, because
yes, it is.
Apostle Paul is talking about faith.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. And he tells us how we're not a child of God because we try and keep some law. Paul is telling us, for you all,
yes.
and he's being all, that means
all.
Them and us as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep no law. Praise God. But I want to tell you, Paul says, for you all.
Yes.
And all means everybody. All. It means all. For you all are children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. How are you? If you're going to church and you're thinking that the church can save you, your faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Correct,
if you're thinking that you can read your Bible and create all these different laws for yourself, let me tell you something. Your faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is how you're a child of God.
Praise the Lord.
We are all children of God
by faith.
By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what church you go to. Doesn't matter. The thing of it is that you are a child of God.
That's right,
by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some folks may say, well, no, but I don't totally agree with that. Well, don't agree with me. Agree with what the Scripture says. Because the Word of God is the final authority in terms of everything that we're doing. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, let's look at that next verse, because we want to get down to the crux of the matter here and allow everyone out there in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast to feel free to understand what we're saying. We're speaking with understanding so that we could be understood in terms of what is being said. Praise God. It is so much in this epistle. We cannot digest all of what Apostle Paul is saying, because it's a faith walk. Praise God. Mr. Glory, you want to read the next one?
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. You hear that, evangelist?
Yes.
For as many of us as have been baptized
into Christ. Have put on Christ.
Amen. Have put on Christ. Now, this is something that begs for a description, because, first of all, in Romans, the 6th chapter, in verse 3, Apostle Paul is telling us there in that epistle to the Romans, he said that for as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. I tell you, it's amazing how we look at this epistle here, and he brings clear understandings from one epistle to another, but you are in Christ.
In Christ.
You are in Christ. And he's not talking about water baptism.
Nope.
He's talking about the body of Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he's speaking
about
the body of Christ. So, Minister Glory, you want to look at that, evangelist, whichever, want to look at another verse of Scripture, because we don't get into the body of Christ through trying to keep some law. So forth, we get into the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Praise God. Isn't
the
that something?
The Holy Spirit.
That's in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 tells
ahead,
us
Pastor.
Exactly how we get into that body. Mm-hmm. It's not because you shake the preacher's hand or you pay tithes or you keep some other law or you attend church when the doors are open. Let me tell you something. You get into the body of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Praise God. How does it read?
It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Praise God. Praise God. We've been all made to drink of one Spirit. We're now in the body of Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
I tell you. And it's a wonderful thing that we know where we are, positionally speaking, that we are in Christ.
Amen.
And we are walking and living by the grace of God.
Yes.
Glory to his wonderful name. What's that 27th verse says? Praise God.
Well, for as many as of you, many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus.
Praise God. We all are one in Christ Jesus. This is why no matter what fellowship, denomination, wherever it is that I go or anyone else goes, if you are a child of God, you are just as comfortable there as you would in some other church. This is why we are in Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
We are in Christ, the body of Christ.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. And his word tells us there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. male nor female. We all are one. Praise God. What do you think about that, Evangelist? We all are one in Christ Jesus.
Pastor.
Are you in Christ?
I'm hid in Christ, Pastor, because I want them to see the Christ in me, Pastor.
Amen.
I want Christ to be manifested through me. When I open my mouth, let them hear the words that is coming from the Father.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, our time is zipped away, and there's so much to try and ingest in such a short period of time. But I just want to tell you out there in Radio Land that, positionally speaking, know where you are.
Yes.
Know whose you are, and know what you are in Christ Jesus, because the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that has done everything. Keep in mind, praise God, that it is by grace,
Amen.
Yes.
The grace of our Lord and Savior Amen. Jesus Christ. And don't let anybody try to have you to have a work mentality to try to earn anything from Christ. Apostle Paul has laid it out here in this epistle with so much to be spoken of,
yes.
with so little time to express it. But I want to tell you today, God is good. Minister Glory, we have 30 seconds. Can you just extend that invitation to those out there in Radio Land, whether they realize it or not, that they can come to the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Not to any particular Amen. Denomination, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to do it rapidly so that they will be
Praise
able
the
to.
Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved
Amen.
By faith.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank Amen. You, Minister Glory, for being on the panel here this morning. We give the Lord all the praise and honor and glory, and
yes.
we thank you. Don't try and walk in your flesh. Walk by faith
Amen.
In the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him all the praise in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.